Now the topic, or rather the title of the sermon today is the true light of Christmas. So if you can see, or rather if you just look around, right, the true light of Christmas, or rather the color code of Christmas is on you. You are either in red, in white, some of you in green. It's very Christmassy. And outside of Christmas season, all right, one of the most common light that we see are traffic lights. Do you know what is traffic light? Just right outside the church, there is a traffic light already. So what are some of the colors on a traffic light? Although there's only three, right? So red color, we have the green color, we have the yellow or amber color, right? And so I'm teaching my daughter, all right, 4 years old. I'm preparing her to drive Papa as soon as possible, so that I don't have to drive anymore. So I taught her about the colors on the traffic light and the meaning behind it, right? So red is for? Stop, sure. You sure? Okay, you're sure. Green is for? Go. All right. Yellow and amber? Go faster. Sorry, for our international friends, this is Malaysia. Welcome to Malaysia. Red is stop. All right, that is very obvious. Green is to go or to proceed in the indicated direction, whether it's left, right, go straight, right? Now, yellow or amber, in the law school, it's been taught that it is a caution to prepare to stop. But for parents, for working adults, for those who are rushing to work, is it true? Is it truly a caution and prepare to stop? Now, my daughter asked me, you know, Daddy, green light, why are you moving? When we look at lights in the world today, many of them seems to be suggestive in nature. That means it seems to be giving you a suggestion, not exactly a law. A simple matter such as the traffic light, we can have the yellow color or the amber. Go, move faster against the law. So we notice that in the world today, even though there are many common light sources in the world today, we have the electric bulb, we have the tube light, LEDs, candle not so much, oil lamp not so much, mobile flashlight. Yes, they are. But sometimes our light source became our life source. And it's especially true when we look at our screens today. Right? We have the laptop, we have the tabs, we have the handphone, and inside all these screens are information that seems to direct our way today. So where do we get the idea of go faster when we look into the light, when we look at the yellow light? All these are because it is commonly practiced. So if you're not careful, the common life source today is going to bring us north, south, east, west, but may not be the way that God wants us to go. We have to agree that there are so many standards today. And sometimes all these so-called standards seems to be suggestive in nature. But let me bring to you the one and only attention, which is the light, right? So light, according to science, it says that we need four basic elements to survive. We need water, we need air, we need food, and ultimately we need light. And Jesus said that he is the living water, he says that he is the breath of life, he says that he is the bread of life, and he says that I am the light of the world. So in that sense, Jesus Christ himself fulfilled our basic elements to survive here. Not only the physical element of water, air, food, and light, but beyond that. He is our living water, the breath of life, the bread of life, and the light of the world. So he is what we need to survive, to live necessary in this world. Now, he goes beyond that. Not only just the basic essentials for living, But he goes beyond that so that we can have abundant life. So if you look into the book of John, Jesus is saying that I am the bread of life. All right, mamam. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. Basically, he is shielding us from harm. I am the good shepherd. He is guiding us in our life here on earth. I am the resurrection and the life. We know that he resurrected 2,000 years ago, about 33 years after he was born. And he came back to life 3 days later that. And after that, 40 days later, he ascended to heaven and he promised that he's coming back again. So he is the resurrection and the life. And he did claim that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And lastly, he claims that I am the true wine, best food. So not only we have the essentials that we need to live here on earth, but all these statements, the I am statements of Jesus, help us to see that with Jesus, we can have life that is abundant. Not just essential, not just merely living, but a life that is abundant. So let's focus on just one thing, the true light of Christmas today. This is taken from John chapter 1, verses 9. It's actually all the way to 13, but let's read verse 9 first. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, the true light came. For us today, it has already come, and it was meant to give light to everyone. You and me, those who do not know Jesus, those who have not heard about Jesus, Christ has come to give light to everyone. Now, when we look into light, what are the functions of light? Why is it so important? Why is it necessary for us today? Now, the first one is that light penetrates, and this is especially true for my family. Now, when we talk about light penetrates, it means that it cuts through, eliminates darkness, it kills germs, and this is very obvious if you look into rainy seasons. There are more flu, there are more people getting sick because light did not penetrate. I hope you can see that. There is a correlation between the seasons, especially rainy seasons, less light in the atmosphere, more germs, and that's why people get more sick. Light penetrates. Light reveals. It opens up the truth of a certain area. It clears up ways. Right? Light reveals. When we have light, it reveals that there are a certain amount of people here, there are a certain amount of people here. And light guides. It keeps one from groping, grasping about the dark. Have you ever tried walking in the dark? Trying to find your own way? Light guides and it directs the way to go and it leads us along the right path. And light enlightens. It enlarges our vision. It enlarges our knowledge. So if we have light in our life, we are able to see better. We are able to see further and we can get more knowledge. Light exposes and strips away darkness. This is very true. Imagine no light right now. But we want to thank God there's this piece of glass here that still shines light into our midst. And this is one of our specialty in that sense. People appreciate this piece of glass here with the cross. Can you see the cross there? You didn't know. There's a cross there. There is a cross there. All right? And number 6, light discriminates between the right way and the wrong way. It helps us to find out what pleases the Lord. And today we have the Bible with us, and the Bible is our light that lights up our way. And the light warns us, it warns us of the danger that lies ahead in one's path, especially if you're walking at night without the lamp, the light from your car. It's dangerous, turning left, turning right. And for us today, as we go through life here, even though we have the so-called sources of light through our screen, if we do not have the light that guides us through and warns us of what is ahead, we are going to get into trouble. And lastly, light protects. It keeps us from tripping, stumbling, falling, injuring ourselves, and losing one life. So in terms of the traffic light, the light protects if we obey the law. If we obey what it is intended, that means red is stop, green is go, and amber or yellow is get ready to stop. Light protects if we follow them. Now, how do we have access to this light? All right, through natural revelation. I believe most of you will have better photos than I do. And even these two photos, they are not from myself. All right, I got it from our colleague who went to Chengdu, China, just 2 weeks before. And as you can see, through natural revelation, light is accessible to all of us, regardless of whether we believe in Jesus or not. So we have Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the skies proclaim the work of His hand. So this is all visible, all available for all of humankind. And secondly, through good and perfect gifts. James chapter 1, verse 17 says here that we have access to the light through good and perfect gifts. Every good and perfect gifts is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So this is general for everyone, regardless of our faith, regardless of whether we have placed Jesus or we have placed our trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for some of us, I believe, for most of us here, we have Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, we can see the truth, through the light of Christ Himself. Now, this can be found in John chapter 11, verses 25 to 27. Jesus Christ has come into the world. He has interacted with people, and all this interaction was recorded in the book, in the gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let me bring to your attention here in John chapter 11, verses 25 to 27. This is where Martha, Mary, Lazarus already died, all right, and he was already in the tomb for 4 days. And this was what Jesus said to Martha, all right. This was a part of that. All right, so 11 verses 25. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now, Jesus Christ has come into the world, and through the intervention between him and the people, and for us today, as we read of the Bible, we know that we can see the truth through Jesus Christ himself. We have the access to all this, and truly we want to thank God for the scripture. And secondly, Jesus Christ has come into the world so that we can now be delivered from the darkness of sin. John chapter 8 verse 12 says this, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So for Christians today, we are now delivered from the darkness of sin, for the consequences of sin, that we are now belonging to the heavenly kingdom of light. And lastly, Christ has come into the world so that we have the Holy Spirit. 40 days after after 40 days, he ascended to the heaven, and during Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came into the people, and today, all believers, all who have placed our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, have the Holy Spirit in us. And it is only possible because Jesus was born. None of this is possible without the birth of Jesus. And that's why we are here to celebrate and to remember Jesus Christ through his birth. We have the Holy Spirit because Christ has come into the world. And the role of the Holy Spirit is to guide us and to convict us. John chapter 16, verses 8 to 11 says this, and when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Three different areas. And the first area, This is taken from NLT. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me, Jesus. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. The Holy Spirit comes to guide us and to convict us. And it is the work of the Holy Spirit in us today that help us to see that when we go full speed during the yellow light, it is wrong. Regardless of whatever excuse that we may have, it is wrong. So that is the role of the Holy Spirit. That is to rebuke us. That is to convict us. Now, as we look into and understand that Jesus Christ is truly the true light of Christmas, we see that there are two types of responses. This is taken immediately after verse 9, from verses 10 to 13. Verse 10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive it. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. We see two different responses here. After hearing that Jesus claimed himself to be the true light of Christmas, the true light of the world, but there are generally two different responses to this. First of all, rejection. The first group of people, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And we see that again and again in the gospel book, where the people of Israel rejected him, or at least majority of them. So even though he was the one that is involved in the world's creation, the world did not recognize him. Even though he was born to be an Israelite, his own people did not receive him. So that is the first response that the people today has. Rejection. But we thank God there are people that has accepted him. And I believe that speaks to the majority of us here. We have accepted Jesus Christ as the true light of Christmas, and that leads to our salvation. And verses 12 and 13 says this, yet to all who did receive him. And I pray that most of us here, if not all of us here, will do that. To those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or husband's will, but born of God. Brothers and sisters, as we slow down during this Christmas season, let us be reminded that we have made a certain decision to follow Christ in our life journey. I accepted Christ when I was 14 years old, and I still think that I did that too late. I came into contact with Christian faith on a Christmas day when I was 12 years old. That was my first time entering a church, celebrating Christmas on a Christmas Eve, I believe. There are gifts, presents, but it doesn't really make sense to me. All I understand is free present, free gifts. And at my age of 13 years old, I followed my family to the church. I was sulking all the way because I have to be there before 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a morning service, 8 o'clock on a Sunday. I've been sulking for 2 years. Every single Sunday. 2 years. Faithfully. It wasn't until God touched me at the end of my 14 years old. That's when I truly see that Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. And even at the young, tender age of 14 years old, I blame myself for getting to know Jesus too late in my life. I've missed out 14 years of not knowing Jesus. I pray that it will not be too late for some of us here. So how do we receive Christ? To those who believed in His name. Now, belief to us today is like, you know, belief, right? If we believe something happened, then it's okay. We acknowledge that that's the fact, but we do not act upon it, right? It is like believing that, you know, our ex-prime minister will go to jail for a long time, but ultimately, you know, that's a very loud show. Right? So we believe all this, but, you know, it's just head knowledge. We don't have any commitment there. So the belief in the scripture not only talks about understanding the knowledge, have a mental conviction, or there's an intellectual, you know, struggle in our mind, but believing in the scripture means to commit. And ultimately, it means to commit our past, our sins, and all this, committing our present, our welfare, our well-being, and to commit our future destiny in God. That is the meaning of the scripture, belief. To those who believe in His name. In another sense, is that to those who have committed their life to Jesus and in His name. Alright, so that gives us a different weightage. Not just listening, but to respond to it. So ultimately, there are about three steps that was involved in our faith. I believe most of us, we have gone through these three steps. First of all, it comes by seeing or hearing the message. Seeing and hearing the message. We read the Bible, we read the scripture, we have heard about how Jesus lived on this world, we have heard about Him dying on the cross ultimately. We see, we hear the message. And secondly, we have to agree that the message is true. So some of us, we may stuck here. All right, we may believe that Jesus Christ is born, you know, on Christmas Day and all this, but that doesn't change us inside out, because secondly, we must agree that the message is true, that Jesus Christ was born so that He can die for you and me. And after we agree that the message is true, there must be a personal commitment to the truth. There must be a surrendering part to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I was in Mid Valley last Sunday with my two daughters and my mother-in-law. Celine and baby Kristen were still in the hospital by then. And as we got ready to leave the hall, we were in the baby room changing the diapers and all this. Suddenly, we hear sirens, alarms, I don't know what you call that, in the mall. Right? So I thought, you know, Krista was pulling some strings and sort of make something happen. And after we changed the diaper, we exited the baby room. We noticed that the lifts are not working. All right, and usually when the lifts are not working, it means that there is certain emergency in the mall, right? And we see that there are people, you know, asking, you know, the light is just blaring there, and then it's very loud, and you know, and then and our girls are they were in a way slightly terrified, you know, because red is very obvious, you know, and the light is and the sound is blaring. And people were asking what happened, and then we were not sure what happened. There was no announcement, no nothing of that sort. But we know something serious happened because the lift was no longer working. And there was no staircase to the car park at our location, right? So we have to rush through the mall to CityTel Hotel, and we leave you know, that layer or ground floor from CityTel Hotel's lift and also the staircase after that. And as we enter the mall, we noticed that, you know, people are still eating, right? People are still shopping. There are people who have left the premise and they gather outside the mall. This is Mid Valley. But responding to the same alarm, there are still people chilling in a sense. Even though red light serves as a warning of danger, many of us may be too complacent, or, you know, it could be some error, it could be something else, but it's definitely not dangerous. For some of us today, we may be treating our life in the same manner. There may be a red light in your life right now that you need to turn from your ways and to find the true light of Christmas. Some of us, we may have the green light because we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and we are going according to the way that God has guided us. Some of us, we could be at the yellow light where it is a warning to stop, but we still go full speed ahead. For some of us, it is an obvious stop and turn back. But maybe for some of us, we are not responding to the red light. So may I invite you to slow down and reflect upon our lives right now. Towards the end of 2025, in the Christmas season, is there any red lights in your life that serves as a warning of danger that may require you to turn to the true light of Christmas today? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the privilege of having Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, because he was born about 2,000 years ago and ultimately he dies for us. We want to thank you because you have removed all our sins and has placed it onto Jesus Christ when he died on the cross, so that we can come before you this morning as a children of God, as a child of God, Lord, that we belong to you and belong to this family of believers here. And Lord, perhaps there are some of us here who have yet to know you, and perhaps this could be their first time in the church. Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit will work in their hearts, that as they hear, as they see the truth, Lord, they will agree that the message is true, that Jesus Christ was truly born to die for us and to carry our sins on the cross. That as we place our trust in him, committing ourselves and surrendering our life to him of our past, present, and future, we are believing in the name of Jesus. And through the name of Jesus, by the grace of God, we can belong to you, belong to the heavenly kingdom of light. So help us, Lord, as we move into 2026. Help us to look into areas that may be a glaring red light. Lord, we pray that you will reveal that red light in our lives, so that we can turn back to you, we can do what is necessary so that our lives will be one that is pleasing you. Help our friends here today that as they go through this Christmas season, as they go into 2026, they too will realize that their life lacks something. And that this something can only be replaced by our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we want to thank you for bringing them into this sanctuary this morning. We want to pray that your Holy Spirit will continue to work in their hearts, open up their minds, open up their hearts, so that they can see, so that they can hear, so that they can respond to your love, that it will not be too late for them to miss out the joy of the Lord in our hearts. We thank you because we can rejoice in the Lord. We thank you because of the joy of the birth of Christ for each and every one of us. We want to commit each and every one of us here in the sanctuary unto your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.